Good morning and welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us. We have got a fantastic program for you on this Tuesday. So if you'll indulge me, let's begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us this new day. Father, we know you have big plans for us today. Please help us. Grant us the grace that we need to make it through the day, to face any problem or any situation that comes our way, and help us be able to draw people close to you. During this Advent season, help us to encounter you more deeply, even though things can get very hectic. Father, we lift up those who are homeless today. We lift up those who might be homebound. Anybody who is sick, we ask you to heal them. Anybody who is suffering from anxiety or loneliness, we ask you to be with them and grant them your peace. Father, we ask you to speak through us on the program today. May your words go forth from our lips, and please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, it's time for another show. I am Gary Zimak. This is Spirit in the Morning on Holy Spirit Radio, the Delaware Valley's only local Catholic morning show, and it's such a pleasure to be able to start our day with you as a listener. Today on the show, we're going to be joined by Dr. John Bergsma as we continue our discussion on Abraham. Also, Brian Mercier will be here. He's the author of Why Do You Believe in God? He's a speaker. He's a retreat leader. He's going to be talking about a very important question. We hear this a lot. Why would God send anybody to hell? Well, Brian's going to address that on the question, on the program, on the question. Dave Parker, help me out. Yeah. I'm in trouble here,
yeah, that
brother.
Question on the program. Yeah, what a very heady topic to start with.
Brian's really good, though, at dealing with some of these deep questions.
Absolutely.
Hey, Dave Parker, how are you today?
I am well, Gary. Good morning.
Good morning. You know, when I came in the studio, you were busy today. You were doing some other things. And you didn't turn the lights on in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
So it was up to me to figure out how to turn the lights on. Needless to say, I did it.
Yeah, you did a good job.
But I thought it was really tough. I looked at the switch.
Are you listening, Eileen?
I recognized what needed to be done, and I just seized the moment.
You did.
Right?
Wow.
But
that's the kind of guy you are, you know?
I am. Yeah. I am, really.
Jump into the gap, brother.
I got the thought, though, wouldn't it be neat to do the show in the dark one day?
what difference would that
That's a good point.
Well, we kind of started the bantering at the time, yeah.
Hey, you know what?
I said, how about some incense, too? And maybe some candles. Maybe not totally dark.
Maybe to do this Advent theme.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah.
That would be really good. By the way, yesterday I started my new job as Director of Parish Services at Mary Mother of the Redeemer.
And how did that go?
It went well. Mary Mother of the Redeemer Parish in North Wales. But if you're a listener to this program, do not panic. I'm not going anywhere. I will continue to host the program. I bet some people out there are saying, darn, he's not going anywhere.
I'm not one of them, folks.
No, but anyway, I'm going to be able to continue to host this program. But here's
something that's really cool.
Marianne Dunbar, who is the music coordinator of Mary Mother of the Redeemer. I got to meet her yesterday. Mm-hmm. She's a listener of Spirit in the Morning.
Well, good morning, Marianne Dunbar.
And she said, it's really cool to hear your voice in the office next door. I feel like I'm listening to Holy Spirit Radio. So that's kind of neat. You know, so Dave, we have listeners.
I was thinking about that. You know, I envisioned, you know, they need to get you a microphone, you know. You know, put it on your desk and then, oh, Garrett, it's time to go to break. Oh, no, wait, I'm at a different job.
But, yes, that's true. But it's really neat because it's a close commute for me from the station to the parish, and I'm excited to work with everyone at the parish. So if you are a parishioner at Mary Mother of the Redeemer Parish, stop by and say hi. I'm in the parish office, and I'm really looking forward to getting started.
I would say, all kidding aside, Gear, they're so blessed to have you.
Oh, you're too kind.
You have so much knowledge. You're so rich in faith.
Hey, you're too kind. Are you just saying that because I bought you a donut today?
Maybe. No, absolutely not.
Thank you. You're very kind to say that.
You're welcome. I mean it.
Dave, thank you. Yeah. Before we... Well, let's do the weather, and then I have something here. Uh, a little pamphlet I came across. I thought, oh, by the way, Frank Eliasson is not with us today.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a void there. I look over at the chair.
And we kind of turn over. Hey, he's not there, you know, because we have a great setup, and then how we banter and how we converse.
Yeah.
And then, well, Frank, where are you? We're missing you.
So it's up to us today. So to fill the void, I have a little pamphlet that I found called 40 Simple Ways to Keep Christmas Meaningful. So I'll read a couple of those. See,
sounds good.
You can relax because I'm not going to pull out the why do we say it or the did you know.
If we need to, you know.
That's right.
It's a safety valve.
Yeah, don't make me go there, right?
Yeah, right.
All right. The current weather at the Philadelphia International Airport is 50 degrees, mostly cloudy skies. Today we're going to have showers, but mainly afternoon. High near 62. Whoa. Tonight, showers mainly before 5 a.m., then low around 43. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 48. At the moment in West Grove, it's 46. In Morgantown, 49. And in Newtown, it is 50 degrees. Mm-hmm. But I understand a change is on the way, right? Later in the week.
Huge. Yep. Yeah, well, and we're going to get some rain later on today. The front's going to push through, and behind it, I understand, is some really, really, probably the coldest air of the season.
But you know, it is December.
Yes.
Right? It's time.
Yeah, it's time.
And let's just get it done. You know, I'm not a cold weather person. Mm-hmm. My outlook is, all right, let's just get through the winter, and then we move on. Okay, Dave, before I read the gospel, if I could, few minutes here. There's a booklet I ran across called 50 Simple Ways to Keep Christmas Meaningful by Victor Parishin. It's from Liguori Publications. There are some really good ways in here, very simple ways to keep Christmas meaningful. Just wanted to share a couple of these.
Okay.
Ground yourself. Remind yourself of the reason for all the commotion. Dave, that sounds simple.
Yes.
But it can easily be lost. So when you're running around looking for that parking spot in the mall, remind yourself.
Competing for that parking spot.
Yeah. I mean, just make that mental note. This is about Jesus.
Yeah.
We can't forget him.
Take that releasing breath, folks. A couple of them, maybe, if you have to.
Right.
Say, you know, this. I don't want to get caught up in this frenzy. And go back to what you told yourself going into Advent. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to become frenzied and crazy in this season. You know?
Right. Another step is plan ahead. That's a very practical step.
Yes, it is.
A little early planning can go a long way to reducing holiday stress.
Mm-hmm,
you know, think about...
Long way, yes.
I have, in the past, I have gone out to get Christmas gifts without having a list first. Just think, well, I'll just go look for things.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't work. It's better to have a plan, a list. I'm sure you're a list maker.
Well, I am, but I have gone out just to do, like, general shopping. I get
ideas.
You have?
Okay.
But when you do that, when it's like 3 days before Christmas, that is not the time to do
exactly,
it.
Exactly, you know? Exactly.
But I agree with you. List is essential.
Here's another very practical step. Avoid debt. That can be a problem. Sometimes we go overboard, but, you know, it's a good thing to think, can I really afford this?
Yes. And in our culture, I mean, the media, I mean, bigger is better. That's what they say. It's not necessarily bigger. It's gifting someone out of what our means are, and the spirit of giving.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have to be a huge gift. Again, that's you're right, Gare.
And in
don't get me started.
But in line with that, here's another one. Give the gift of time. Instead of giving elderly friends and family a gift they don't need or have room for, help them do their own Christmas shopping by giving them a ride to the store or helping them order gifts online.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
That is a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, these are things that these are not so obvious, but these are simple ideas. Read about the original Santa Claus. St. Nicholas was famous for helping the poor and reaching out to children. Find out about it, more about him, and I believe tomorow is his feast day, the 6th of December.
I believe so.
Tap into the spiritual. Spend 5 minutes daily in silence. 5 minutes. That's not that much.
That's minuscule. But for some people that have not, even for those who do like to contemplate and pray, sometimes it's hard to do.
Right.
So 5 minutes, it seems small. But do it.
Yeah.
Carve it out.
The beginning of the day would be very good for that. During your commute, maybe, right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly,
Memorize scripture passages. And there's some very simple scripture passages we can memorize. Feed your mind. Check into the background of some Christmas symbols, candles, evergreens, mistletoe, the Advent wreath, etc. Reflect on Philippians 4:4. I love this one. Rejoice in the Lord always. I shall say it again. Rejoice. Ask yourself, what blessings have I enjoyed today, then thank God for them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are just a little exercise.
Well, just to that point, I mean, this past year, I was thinking, I kind of put it in well, what am I thankful for this past year? What happened to me? Or you know, what in my life, in my family life? And I have so much to be thankful for. My family and friends. Yes.
Totally, totally true. Skip a meal a few times during this December. Skip a meal as a strong reminder of what it feels like for many people who often go without food.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, these are things we would not ordinarily think of. But in order to really appreciate what Advent is all about and not get caught up in the frenzy, you are going to have to make a conscious decision to do that.
Exactly. Real quickly, can I go on, you know, give up a meal, but maybe take that meal? And if there's a homeless person in your area, give that meal to that person.
Great idea. Now, I've got more of these. I'm going to share more throughout the week, but you can not lose sight of the meaning of Christmas. You can do that, but you're going to have to do a little work. So we're going to help you as we go through Advent to do that, to help you keep focused on Jesus. Today, let's look at the Gospel, Luke chapter 10, verses 21 through 24. Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit, and he said, "I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him." Turning to the disciples in private, Jesus said, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I say to you, many prophets and kings desired to see what you see, but did not hear it. See what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." Dave, there's an example of something to be very thankful for. Mm-hmm. Jesus was born 2,000 years ago. We, as Catholics, not only have access to his word in sacred scripture, we can receive the Eucharist, which is him, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Had we lived 3,000 years ago, that would not have been possible.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
We are those people who have seen 2, Jesus.
2,000 years ago.
But no, 3,000 before.
Going into that. Going
before
into
the
that.
Lord.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm saying 2,000 years ago, he was born. We got him now.
Yes.
So let's be thankful for the gift
Absolutely.
Of Jesus. When we come back, Dr. John Bergsma. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for December 5th. Today we celebrate Saint Sabas. The name of today's saint isn't likely to sound familiar to those of us born in the West, but Saint Sabas is one of the most highly regarded patriarchs among the monks of Palestine. He's also one of the founders of Eastern monasticism. His story begins in the mid-5th century with an unhappy childhood in which he was abused and finally sought refuge in a monastery. He was drawn to the solitude of monastic life. By the age of 30, he was given permission to live the life of a hermit. He spent 5 days each week in a remote cave in Jerusalem, later in Jericho, engaging in prayer and manual labor. In time, Sabas attracted up to 150 followers who lived in individual huts grouped around a church. In his early 50s, Sabas finally began studies for the priesthood. He became abbot among a large community of monks, but continued to hear the call to live as a hermit. Over the years, he traveled throughout Palestine, preaching the faith and bringing many back to the church. Sabas died in 532 at the monastery at Mar Saba, which is still in existence.
The new Saint of the Day app is available now for your smartphone or tablet. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Summers and Zims, where safety and comfort are the foundations upon which our grandfathers built the company. We provide 24/7 emergency service in plumbing, furnace, and air conditioning repair, proudly serving Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square, as well as southern and eastern Lancaster County. If you are having an emergency with any of these systems, call Summers and Zims at 610-593-5129 or visit our website at sumzim.com, and we will gladly help you return to full operation.
Need a lift? Gary's got you. The uplifting way to get through the day. Gary Zimak on Spirit in the Morning.
Follow the star to a place unexpected. You believe after all we've projected a child in a manger, lowly and small, the weakest of all, unlikeliest hero, wrapped in his mother's shawl, just a child. Is this who we've waited for? 'Cause how many kings stepped down from their throne? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? And how many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that is torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me? For the newborn Savior.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was How Many Kings by Down Here. My name is Gary Zimak. It is 7:19. Every Tuesday on the program, we are blessed to have what I like to call the Franciscan University Forum, where we are joined on alternating weeks by Dr. John Bergsma and by Dr. Alan Schreck. Today, Dr. Bergsma joins us to continue a discussion on the life of Abraham. Hey, Dr. Bergsma, good morning.
Hey, Gary, it's great to be on with you.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Now, what's the deal on your new book? Is it out yet?
No. My conversion story is supposed to be out in January.
January, okay. And the title again?
Stunned by Scripture, How the Bible Made Me Catholic.
Wow. I can't wait to dig into that one. That's going to really be a great topic for discussion on the program. All right, so we've been talking about Abraham. And when we last left off, John, we were in Genesis chapter 18. Abraham was interceding for Sodom. Can you set this up a little bit, and maybe we can discuss what exactly is going on here?
Absolutely. So what we have here is, Abraham's nephew, Lot, is down in Sodom, mm-hmm. and Sodom is coming under divine judgment. And, the angels depart to go execute the judgment on the city, and Abraham is left there in conversation with God.
Mm-hmm.
And in the fashion of a good Middle Eastern merchant, he starts bargaining with the Lord to try to talk God's price down.
Yeah.
And if you've ever done a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, or, been in the Middle East and haggled over, some silver trinket or something like that mm-hmm. with a shop owner, you know how this goes. And Abraham is quite effective. He talks God down from about 50 righteous people down to about 10.
Mm-hmm.
And God at the end, at the end of the story promises, if there's even 10 righteous people in Sodom, that he will spare the city from destruction for the sake of those people. And that's almost the number of people in Lot's family. So you'd think that, we'd be close to salvation there. But in fact, we find out that not even Lot's family is completely righteous, unfortunately.
Yeah, now let's talk about that a little, because there is something about that whole bargaining process that can be unsettling. Is Abraham changing God's mind? I mean, what's going on there? Is God getting new information and saying, all right, Abraham, you're telling me this, all right, I'll go along with you, I'll spare this city if there are 10 righteous people there? Or is this something else that's happening?
Sure. We know we can't ultimately change God's mind,
right?
Because God sees everything at one time, because he's outside of time. At the same time, we're taught by the church and by the scriptures to treat our prayer seriously. And the way that the best theologians that I've read have explained this is that God includes our prayers and our intercessions in his plans for the future, Gary.
Wow.
And so when we are interceding for people, it's not like, God doesn't know we were going to do that or something like that, but God's providential plans, incorporate our activity. And that's really profound, Gary, because we have an active role to play in the working out of God's plans for the salvation of this world that's around us. And he's known that for eternity.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's planned for that. And so we should be aggressive about it. We should really actively intercede for the people in our lives, not thinking that in some way, we're changing God's will for all eternity, but knowing that God has chosen to include our actions, our prayers, our intercessions in what he's going to do for the future.
That's such an important concept, because I've had people tell me, and I've felt this way myself at times, well, if my Heavenly Father knows what I need, and that's what Jesus said, why does he want me to pray? But he wants us to be in that relationship with him, correct?
Exactly. He wants us to live out that dynamic relationship of a child with a father, that we can go very honestly and let him know what we need. And by including our activity and our participation in salvation history, God makes it much more dynamic and relational for us. Otherwise, it'd be you know, you kind of sit back and have this kind of fatalism. And that's not the kind of salvation that God wants to work for this world.
Mm. All right, let's continue on now. So after Abraham spoke to the Lord, and the Lord said, if there are 10 righteous people there, I will spare the city. We all know what happens next. In chapter 19, Sodom got destroyed. So that tells us something about the morality in Sodom at the time.
It does. And in fact, Gary, as you may have mentioned in an earlier broadcast, they're actually in the process of excavating Sodom.
Yeah.
I know the archaeologist who's working on that, and they indeed found a destruction layer at about this time on the city. The city was destroyed by a huge blast of fire, essentially from the sky.
Mm.
And it's rather sobering. It, you know, for many years, Gary, this is thought to be a myth, and the location of the cities couldn't be found. But it seems now that this really has been confirmed, and it is sobering, Gary. It reminds us that although God is merciful, He's also just, and there does come a limit to God's mercy when God will execute justice, and we do need to get right with Him.
And that, I'm so glad you brought that up, because that was going to be my next question. Jesus talks about a loving Heavenly Father. When we look at a Heavenly Father who destroys Sodom, it's tough to reconcile those two images.
Yeah, that is difficult. But actually, there is a unity there, Gary, and it comes down to this. When you set your will in a fixed way to be opposed to God, God will sometimes end your life in order for you not to continue, as it were, digging yourself a deeper hole for eternity.
Wow.
And so there is a mercy even in God's judgment. And even in the Old Testament, where we see God ending the lives of the wicked, God, of course, only acts out of love. And the reason why that's loving towards the wicked is like, you know what? You fixed your will against mine. I don't want you to sin forever. I'm going to put an end to your sinning so that your eternal state is less worse than it would be if you continued on that path.
That is an amazing concept.
I'm truly convinced, Gary, that that's how we need to understand these acts of judgment by God, not only in the Old Testament but also in the New.
Yeah. John, we only have about a minute and a half left in the segment. I did want to touch on one more thing before we continued on. Lot's family almost made it out okay, with the exception of his wife, who turned around and looked back and was changed into a pillar of salt. I mean, that's hard to imagine. What's the implication there?
Yeah, it's that when we leave sin, we have to leave it completely. We can't make compromises or negotiations and so on with our sinful tendencies. And in the New Testament, the equivalent of this is our Lord says, you know, the man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God.
Mm.
It has to be a sold-out commitment to Jesus once we begin that life of discipleship, and anything less can possibly lead to disaster.
Great message. Dr. John Bergsma, thanks again for joining us on the program today. Remind us where we can find you online.
Sure, CatholicBibleTeacher.com will get you to my website.
Excellent. My friend, thank you again. I really appreciate you waking up early to being on with us, being on the show.
Absolutely, Gary. Talk to you next time.
All right, John. God bless you. Boy, my mouth isn't working. He was so powerful, Dave Parker.
Wow.
Some of the things he comes out with just blows me away.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's humbling. Thank you, Dr. John Berg.
He's an Old Testament scholar, but he really brings it to life.
Yeah.
You know, he brings God's word to life, and it just helps us to know how we can live out the message. All right, when we come back, Brian Mercier will be here. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. President Donald Trump fired off a series of weekend tweets taking aim at the FBI and raising questions about the special prosecutor's investigation into Russian election meddling and possible ties to his campaign. The Twitter storm, containing more than a dozen tweets Saturday and Sunday, came after Trump's former national security advisor Michael Flynn pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI. It came to light recently that a member of the investigation team had been removed for anti-Trump private text messages. Pope Francis has dismissed any importance put on the fact that he did not pronounce the word Rohingya while in Myanmar, waiting instead until he met with the downtrodden Muslim minority in Bangladesh. It is a loaded term in the country, and Cardinal Charles Bo of Myanmar asked him to avoid using it for fear of reprisal against Catholics there. During his in-flight press conference on his way back to Rome, the Pope said, quote, "I was interested that this message would arrive. For this, I saw that if in the official speech I would have said that word, I would have thrown the door in a face. But I described it, the situations, the rights, no one excluded, the citizenship, to allow myself in the private conversations to go beyond," end quote. And the college football playoff semifinals will include two members of the SEC. Alabama has beaten out my Ohio State Buckeyes for the final berth in a field that has number one Clemson, number two Oklahoma, and number three Georgia. Clemson will take on Alabama at the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans, and Georgia and Oklahoma will square off in the Rose Bowl. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
A quote from St. Bridget of Ireland, "I would like an abundance of peace. I would like full vessels of charity. I would like rich treasures of mercy. I would like cheerfulness to preside over all. I would like Jesus to be present. I would like a great lake of beer for the King of Kings. I would like to watch God's people drinking it through all eternity."
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. This world would be a better place if everyone had a front porch. That's what William Martin of Northport, New York said many years ago, because the trend today is to build houses with a backyard and patio instead of a front porch because they add more privacy. But William thought something important was lost with that approach, so he added a porch and called it one of the best moves we ever made. The old-fashioned front porch was more than just a place to sit and relax to enjoy the outdoors protected from sun and rain. It was a place that encouraged friendliness with neighbors, people walking by would smile and wave, often stopping to talk. The reality is that people need one another. Even the simple warmth of a friendly greeting can help lift our spirits. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You are listening to Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight, no matter what I face, you're by my side. When you tomorrow brings, there's not a day yet you have not seen us. So in all things,
And that was Trust in You by Lauren Daigle. I'm Gary Zimek. Your time right now is 7:36. That song has a powerful message. When God doesn't move that mountain, when you're praying for that mountain to be moved and that mountain remains, what are you going to do? Are you going to trust in Him or are you going to turn against Him? That's where your faith begins to grow, when things don't go exactly as you have planned. So that's a great message from Lauren Daigle on Spirit in the Morning. Okay, why do you believe in God? That's the book from our friend Brian Mercier. Brian is a national Catholic speaker. He's a retreat leader. He is an author. You can find him online at CatholicBrian, BRYAN.org. He joins us now to tackle a very light question for this Tuesday morning. Why does God send people to hell? Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Good morning, Gary. Top of the morning.
Oh, man. This is, boy, what a way to start. You know, it's interesting. I love the way the Holy Spirit sets up these segments. I feel so many times, Brian, I am just not in control. We just got done speaking with Dr. John Bergsma from Franciscan University about God's mercy. And specifically, we're talking about how God destroyed Sodom. And, you know, you try to reconcile these images of God, mainly in the Old Testament, with the New Testament version of what Jesus said about His Heavenly Father. And sometimes it seems like the Old Testament God was a mean and nasty God, and He wanted to destroy people and send them to hell. But in reality, Brian, this is all an expression of God's mercy, isn't it?
Well, to be honest, I love talking about this topic because I love clearing up the misconceptions regarding God being a God, an angry God, because that's what I used to think.
Did you really?
And let's be honest, I mean, kind of through the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s, we didn't always have a nice example of some, you know, religious and clergy. You know, it was proper at that time to be mean and angry, and they didn't often show the face of God or the mercy of God. So I had to learn that on my own the hard way.
Yeah.
But what you have to do is you have to read the Old Testament in context. And when you read the whole Old Testament in context, it is a whole different story, Gary.
Mm.
Like, for example, I've been reading it through. I'm going through the whole thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And time after time after time, God says, I love you. Come to me. I'll give you every good thing.
Right.
And the people are like, okay, we love you too, God. Oh, wait, no, we're going to go commit fornication and have orgies in the sacred places. And we're going to do all this awful stuff. And does God go wipe them out? No, He doesn't. He sends prophets to warn them, saying, hey, you're going to be punished if you keep doing this, and they continue to do it. So He wipes them out, right? No. He begs them to forget. He begs them to, hey, ask forgiveness. I'll still forgive you. And even in the most depths of their evil sometimes, I'm reading through Isaiah and Jeremiah right now,
mm-hmm.
and even in their most evil times, I mean, these people should never be forgiven. God says you deserve everything that's coming to you, but if you repent and you come back to me, I will love you and I will forgive you and I will wipe it away as if nothing happened. Just come back to me. So anytime something bad does happen, it's not like they hadn't been warned
right.
100 times.
Right.
And it's not like God wanted to do that. But sometimes, like for example, one of my professors once said, if you get in trouble with your parents, you probably will get, you know, punished and sent to your room. But what if your friends are all doing it? What if a whole country is doing it? How do you get through to people who are all on the wrong track?
Mm-hmm.
How do you bring them back and save their souls? Sometimes you have to work in big ways, and mm-hmm. God did that in the Old Testament.
Yeah, and Brian, let's take on this tough question, because you hear this a lot. If God is all-loving, why does He send us to hell?
Well, He doesn't.
Good point. Right? I mean, that's the first thing we have to understand. It's not Him saying, you are going to hell. We're saying, I want to be there, right? I mean, by our choices we make in this life, the implication there is that we want to be separated from God oftentimes.
That's exactly right. In high school, I didn't say I wanted to pass. I said I didn't care.
Hmm.
I literally never studied. I literally didn't hardly take tests. I didn't do anything because I didn't care in high school. If I did anything at all, it was the class before or in homeroom that morning.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, I failed a lot of my classes, and I should have failed out of high school. And, you know, that was my choice.
Yeah.
I did that. The teachers only gave me what I chose, what I deserved. And it's kind of it's the same thing with God, too. Spiritually, God is love. And it would be unloving for Him. For example, Christopher Hitchens, who's one of the most angry atheists in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he passed away recently. But he said, even if God... God's real, I would never want to go to heaven. I don't want to. You know, even if he's real, I don't want to see him. I don't want to be with him. Now, God's not going to grab little Chris by the shirt collar and say, listen, you little punk, you have to come to heaven with me. Get in there. You know, because that's going to be more of a hell for Chris than hell will be in itself.
Wow.
And so God is love. And in his love, he allows us to choose to be separated from him, even if we don't know what we're doing, and even if, you know, he doesn't want that himself. So, and so to answer your question, he is love, and he gives us that choice, and he is love, and he always calls us to repentance.
And let's talk about that, because we are now in the Advent season, which is a good time. A lot of times we lose sight of this, but it is a time where we are called to repent and to try to grow closer to the Lord. But there are so many distractions. Brian, do you have any advice for somebody who says, all right, I want to get closer to the Lord. I don't want to get caught up in all of the Christmas frenzy. What do you say to that person to make the best use of the time for Advent?
Well, I would say extend your prayer times more.
Okay.
Take more time in prayer through Advent. Maybe add 10 minutes to your prayer time that you already do, or 15 minutes maybe.
Right.
I would also say read the Bible. Take it out. Dust it off. You know, read the Bible. Read the stories of Jesus' birth. Read Isaiah and the prophecies of Jesus. I mean, this putting this stuff in our mind is only going to help us think of him more. And I would also say, try to take some more quiet time in your life. Mm. Maybe go take a walk and leave your phone at home. Just think about God. Just think about the silence. Because just filling our life with things. I mean, imagine a cup of water and you pour some water in there.
Right.
That's our work. Pour some more water in there. That's our play. Pour some more water in there. That's our relationships. Pour some more. That's our entertainment. Eventually, the cup's full and God has no time or room to move in.
And
so we have to start emptying the cup by taking more time for silence and prayer.
This is a tough time of year to do that, but it's I think a blessing that the church gives us this time, this Advent season, to allow ourselves to wait in joyful expectation for the coming of the Lord, not just historically, but more deeply into our own souls, right?
Oh, absolutely, Gary. And I recommend people, it's not Lent by any means, but I always recommend that people work on one thing, just one little thing. Maybe you're not praying every day.
Right.
That would be something you start doing. You know, maybe you don't read the Bible. That's something you do every day. But one little habit that makes you better by the time Christ comes at Christmas, because that's what it's all about, preparing our hearts for Christ.
And you know what's nice, Brian? There is an end point. There is that Christmas Day end point. So we could set our focus on Advent has a beginning and it has an end. And I think it's a blessing that the church gives us this season, because otherwise, you know what it would be like. We would be saying, oh yeah, one of these days, I'm going to start praying more. Well, the time is now.
That's right. I love the church. The church has so much wisdom in the holidays and the feast days and the times that she carves out of the calendar year, and I've done that in my own family too with my wife. You know, I have a celebrate my wife day, you know, just in case life gets too busy.
Nice.
I have these little days in my life where I try to treat her like a princess. And so I encourage your listeners to take advantage of this time. Just like you said, don't wait till Christmas. Don't wait till Lent. Start now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a blessing because, you know, and this was made very clear in the readings that we heard toward the end of the liturgical year. Today's all we have. We have no guarantee that we're going to be here tomorrow. And that's not a depressing thought. I find that a very motivational thought.
It's a motivational thought, I think, if we're ready, for sure.
Yeah, right. That's true.
But it could also be a convicting thought if we're not ready, you know, that we might not be here tomorrow. I mean, if God pulls your number today while you're listening to this show, would you be ready?
Yes.
If God calls your number while you're washing the dishes this afternoon, would you be ready? If God calls your number while you're at the bar trying to get a woman or something to come home with you, would you be ready?
Wow.
The point is, he could call your number at any time, and once Judgment Day hits and your number is called, it's too late. You can't repent after the fact. It's what we do now that dictates where we'll spend eternity.
Brian, you are on fire, brother, for this early in the morning. Once again, you delivered for us. Hey, if our listeners want to connect with you, I know you go out and you give retreats, you lead parish missions, you have your book. Where is the best place they can find you online?
They can go to my website, which is CatholicBrian.com. bryan.org, and it's B-R-Y-A-N.
Right.
Or if they want to connect with me for more inspirational stuff, they can check out any of my social medias and my YouTube, which is also Catholic Bryan, Catholic Bryan, Catholic Bryan.
Awesome. You're a great brother. We're going to have all your information linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Hey, thanks for joining us once again. Have a blessed Advent and a Merry Christmas. But one of these days, you and I have got to get together.
Absolutely. I would love that. And God bless you.
All right, my friend. Bryan Mercier joining us on the phone from his home in Connecticut. Dave Parker.
He was on fire.
And I'll tell you. I just am going to just sit back and try to digest all of this.
I know.
What a great show.
Absolutely.
And we're not done yet. When we come back, the Be Not Afraid Bible Verse Plus an Advent Meditation. Stay tuned.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years, located at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
Positively the best way to start your morning. Gary Zimak is on Spirit in the Morning.
A restless generation, we're turning over every stone, hoping to find salvation in a world that's left us cold. Can we get back to the altar, back to the arms of our first love? There's only one way to the Father, and He's calling out to us. To the captive it looks like freedom, to the orphan it feels like home, to the skeptic it might sound crazy to believe in a God who loves. In a world where our hearts are breaking and we're lost in the mess we've made, like a blinding light in the dead of night, it's the gospel that makes a way. Our condition, it's the good news for us all. It's greater than religion, it's the power of the cross. So can we get back to the altar, back to the arms of our first love? There's only one way to the Father, and He's calling out to us. To the captive it looks like freedom, to the orphan it feels like home, to the skeptic it might sound crazy to believe in a God who loves. In a world where our hearts are breaking and we're lost in the mess we've made, like a blinding light in the dead of night, it's the gospel that makes a way. It's the gospel that makes a way. It's the
gospel is not that we can receive Jesus into our lives, but that He's already received us into His.
In my own life, it means forgiveness when I know I deserve the fall. It called me out of my darkness and carried me to the cross. In a moment, my eyes were open. In that moment, my heart was changed, like a blinding. In a world where our hearts are breaking and we're lost. the gospel that makes a way.
That's brand new from Ryan Stevenson. The name of that song is The Gospel. I'm Gary Zimek, and you are listening to Spirit in the Morning. We're going to take a look now at our Be Not Afraid Bible verse for the day. It comes from John 1:14. Perfect verse for this Advent season. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You've heard that before, but have you really thought about that? God loves you so much that He sent His Son to take on flesh and to suffer and die for you so that you could make it to heaven. That is a powerful thought to think of on this Advent Tuesday. With that in mind, let's take a look at a reflection for the first week of Advent, the Tuesday of the first week of Advent. As we enter into the season of Advent, our winter days grow shorter and a quiet stillness settles on the world. The trees retract their sap, the forest animals hibernate, and living creatures turn inward. The Christian also is invited to turn inward during the blessed time of Advent in preparation for the Lord's coming. This inner preparation, helped by prayer, silence, Bible readings, and good works, is essential if we are to celebrate in a worthy manner the Lord's birth on Christmas Day and during the whole of the Christmas season. Dave Parker, that's a great little meditation.
Absolutely.
A reminder for us, turn inward a little bit, like Brian Mercier said, 10 minutes of extra prayer a day.
Yeah.
We all can afford 10 minutes. I'm sorry. We all can afford 10 minutes.
Exactly. And I know you and our listeners, we've been frenzied, and then, I don't have time.
Right.
But you take the time, and then look that, wow, I'm so glad I took that 10, 15, 20 minutes. I needed that.
Yeah.
And then we realize, wow, I need to do this more often. And we start with that, and it can build if we be consistent. Hey, can I say something real quick?
I have to say yes now since we're on the air.
Okay, yes. We had a phone call.
We did.
We had a phone call. And guess who that was?
Who was that?
You get three guesses in the first. No, just kidding. It was Joe Montone.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, of the host of Finding God in Prison.
Yes.
And he was so filled with the Spirit. He is so filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
He called to say, we are doing such a good job.
Oh, thank you, Joe.
So he said, say hi to Gary. Hi, Gary, for Joe. And Joe, thank you so much. I know you're listening in your ministry and your apostolate. You're doing such good, great work for the Lord.
Let's talk about Joe in case anybody's not familiar with the work that he does. Dave, he's been doing prison ministry for years.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
I mean, bringing the Lord to people who are held captive.
Yeah. You're talking about doing the Lord's work. I mean, He is one of many, and there are many folks affiliated with this station, but out there that are doing that. But Joe, what a special mission you have for the Lord, and you're awesome.
And you are, brother. You are, and we thank you for all that you do, Joe. And that's very nice that he called.
Yeah.
And I get scared when the phone rings around here, Parker.
Really?
I'm thinking, uh-oh.
When we don't expect it.
That's right. They're on to us.
Uh-oh. Here they come.
But,
Joe, thanks.
But yes, isn't that a thrill though, Dave, when we get to when we get that feedback? Because we don't always hear feedback about the program, and for the most part, we've been doing this for over a year now. Mm-hmm. The feedback has been, and I'm not just saying this, overwhelmingly positive.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, very, very. And we were talking on break too about our two guests, and what a message today.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit just put them both together.
Yeah,
I think.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's perfect.
And what a wake up call for each one of us. I mean, me and my life, I mean, we can always go deeper. We can always go deeper with the Lord and ask for His forgiveness.
Exactly. Exactly.
With His mercy and not wait until it's too late. You know, I was mentioning, I mean, we know people in our lives that they pass away, but mm-hmm. I mean, are we ready?
Are we
ready today?
Right.
As Brian said, we never know. I could be doing the dishes. I could be out, you know, doing something in the yard. And then God says, you're coming home.
You are absolutely right. And Dave, I have a tendency to procrastinate. So as I was talking to Brian about the season of Advent, it's a blessing for me that the church gives me this period of time with a beginning and an end.
Mm-hmm.
And says, all right, get busy.
Mm-hmm.
Repent.
Yes.
Get closer to the Lord. Make some time for Him. And you know, if we ever are in that mindset of, well, I'm very holy, I go to daily mass, I don't need to get any closer to the Lord, then we're in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say
right?
that. Yeah, I was...
Because we got to be careful that we don't become self-righteous and say, oh, that repentance, that's for that other guy there.
One word, humility.
Yeah.
I mean, we really have to face our lives, ourselves, I mean, in the depths of our being and our soul.
Yep.
I mean, you have to have a gut check, a soul check.
Yeah.
And, I mean, so humility helps.
One of the things that I'm doing during this Advent season is praying to the Holy Spirit to reveal my flaws, because I really want to know. I want to get right with the Lord so that I can grow closer to Him.
Exactly.
I want to know. I know I need to repent, and I have some ideas, but there are probably serious imperfections and flaws that I have, and Dave, don't feel the need to chime in here, but that I might not be aware of. We only have 3 minutes left.
And likewise with me.
Yeah. Right? I mean, so the Holy Spirit can enlighten us so that we can take care of these problems, and we can turn to the Lord. It's like going to the doctor and saying, well, I don't know what hurts, but fix me.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
You got to come in and say, hey, doc, it hurts when I do this.
Yeah, okay. Well, don't do that.
I know. I knew you were going to go there. But the Holy Spirit can help us to reveal our flaws to us and let us know how
we need to. And that's done out of God's mercy and love.
It's all out of mercy.
Dr. Bergsma. You know, and Brian, I mean, it's really all done out of His love and mercy for us, His children.
You know, Dave, it sounds funny, but you and I, we're big fans of this show. Right?
I mean, yes.
We listen to these guests. I am in awe of some of the guests that we have on the show, and I am still unpacking what Dr. Bergsma and Brian Mercier had to say today, because we have some great guests on this program.
Yeah, I feel like this is not in a, you know, an edifice, a church, but this is such, what a holy time. We have our guests, and we're so blessed that the Lord chose. I mean, I'm a weak vessel. And like, wow, now I'm on radio and, you know, working with you, Gary, and Frank, and what a blessing.
Yeah, that's how I feel, too. I know.
Yeah, I mean,
I know.
Well, praise God, and oh, man, it humbles me.
Me too. And before we go off the air, I want to ask you, as our listeners, to spread the word. If you like this program, let people know about Spirit in the Morning, and furthermore, let them know about Holy Spirit Radio and all of the great shows that we have on the air for you later on today.
Yes,
Word of God
at 11 with
Monsignor O'Donnell and Janet Napoli.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean,
they'll be here.
So tune in. Keep your dial tuned to Holy Spirit
Radio.
And all day for the great programming that we have to offer. By the way, if you want to follow us online, check out spiritinthemorning.com for more information. If you have a comment about the show, send it to me directly at gary@holyspiritradio.org.
Here's one more, Finding God in Prison.
With Joe Montone.
Joe Montone.
That's right. Check out holyspiritradio.org for the full program schedule.
Exactly.
All right, Mr. P, they're playing our music. It's time for us to get on out of here. Remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. Turn around and say hi. See you next time.
God bless.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating hope.